Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News. Last week, after a lengthy investigation by the Transportation Safety Board into the sinking of the tugboat Ingenica near Kitimat, BC in 2021 that killed both Troy Pearson and Charlie Craig, found that the Ingenica's crew were not adequately trained, that onboard survival equipment had not been maintained, and that the vessel was underpowered for the large barge it was towing to the Rio Tinto smelter. The report also stated that stronger regulations and inspections for light tugboats under 15,000 tons should be a requirement for the more than 1,300 tugboats across Canada that currently go uninspected. Last Friday, MP for Skeena-Buckley Valley, Taylor Bacharach, as well as members of the union that represented both men and their families, addressed the Transportation Safety Board report findings and to call on the Federal Transport Minister Omar Al-Gha'abra to immediately implement all the Transportation Safety Board's recommendations from the report. Here is a clip from that press conference in Vancouver.
We're here today to respond to the Transportation Safety Board's final investigation report, which was released moments ago here in Vancouver. This is an investigation into the 2021 sinking of the tugboat Ingenica near Kitimat, which took the lives of mariners Troy Pearson and Charlie Craig. We're here today in the memory of Troy and Charlie. We're here today in solidarity with all of the mariners who work up and down our coast every day in all kinds of conditions. I'll serve as our MC for this press conference. I'm joined today by a number of people, joined by Charlie's mother, Genevieve Craig, Charlie's father, Phil Craig, Troy's widow, Judy Carlick Pearson, Jason Woods, the president of ILWU Local 400, which represents tugboat workers on our coast, many of them. As well, we're joined today by Rob Ashton, the national president of ILWU Canada, and by Peter LaHaye, the national coordinator for the International Transport Workers Federation. Some quick housekeeping. We're going to hear from the speakers one at a time. I'll introduce them. We're going to have questions afterwards from the media. We do have a Zoom call started up, so we're going to do our very best to take questions from Zoom as well. So once the speakers have finished, we'll take questions from those here in person, and then we'll go to those who have joined us by Zoom. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to our first speaker, Jason Woods, the president of ILWU Local 400. Jason.
Hi there. Thanks for coming. Jason Woods, president of International Longshore Warehouse Union. WODS is my last name, JASON for first name. Thank you for coming today. You know, it's a lovely day. The weather's turned out for us, but I wish we'd be anywhere here but here discussing the loss of Troy and Charlie. But here we are. After hearing the TSB this morning, you know, we wholeheartedly agree with the recommendations. This sector, this under tonnage, 15 ton vessel industry here in BC, there were over 1,000 commercial vessels. None of them bear any scrutiny. None of them are inspected. Today you see commercial vessels or commercial trucks driving down your streets. You see trains, you see planes. All of them are inspected at one point or another by provincial or federal regulatory agencies. On the marine side, it's the Wild West. The Ingenica was in service for 50 years and was never, ever inspected by any regulatory regime. It's a shame. These lives didn't have to be lost in the way that they were. Basic due diligence would have stopped this accident from happening. They say that safety is a Swiss cheese model and the holes have to line up for an accident to happen. But unfortunately, in this circumstances, the holes were so big, the risks were so known, and nothing was accounted for. These lives were lost tragically for the commercial interests of Rio Tinto, for Wainwright Marine. At no point were the mariners even thought of. They weren't given the proper PPE. E-perbs didn't work, which are electronic positioning buoys when your tug sinks that would have assisted in the rescue. Their survival suits were deficient, not maintained, not looked after. Would you send someone to drive down your streets without a driver's license? Would you send a commercial pilot to fly you and your loved ones to where you need to go without a certificate? This is the kind of industry that we have. No scrutiny, very little assistance from government. Transport Canada needs to do their job, and that's inspect all commercial vessels. The minister needs to be brave. We can't wait years like in the field disaster on the rail side. We need this change now. The minister could order it today. 2 years later, we see a voluntary compliance program where 88 vessels in Canada have registered out of over 1,300. Is that an effective program to make mariners safer here in British Columbia and across Canada? I'd argue no. Canada is a very rich country. 50% of our trade comes through the West Coast ports. Our members, the seafarers of British Columbia, keep that supply chain open, keep the goods and economy moving through storm, through tough weather, difficult times, away from our family, away from the people that we care about. We need that support from the federal and provincial governments. It needs to happen. It needs to happen now. I want to really thank everyone for your attention and keeping this in the public interest. Without the media, without the public support, we would not be here today. 2 years later, we mourn the deaths of Troy and Charlie, but we fight like hell for the future and for other mariners that work up and down this coast. Thank you very much.
CICK News spoke to both Jason Woods, president of the local 400 Marine and General Workers Union, as well as Judy Carlick Pearson, Troy Pearson's widow, about the changes they'd like to see Transport Canada make to ensure all mariners on BC's coast are safe. Exactly what the recommendations from the Transportation Safety Board outlined in its report following a 2-year investigation into the sinking of the tugboat Ingenica. Here is my conversation with Jason Woods and Judy Carlick Pearson. Judy, thanks so much for being with us today. Of course, I could only imagine how incredibly difficult the last couple of years have been, and obviously dealing with the loss of your husband. You held a rally this past weekend on Friday and to call on the government to make some changes that would keep mariners safe on BC's coast. Tell me a little bit about what you've been experiencing over the last number of months trying to get attention to this issue.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to strengthen the regulations right now that are happening right now with Transport Canada, which means like having stricter reporting policies in place, stricter regulations in the marine sector, by having workplace safety enforcement and accountability on how vessels are being inspected. So those are the top ones that we're looking for.
Judy, I know that there's been a lot of attention to this because there are so many tugboats that fall under that threshold that would cause inspection. Boats in Canada that don't need to be inspected when they go out year after year. The company in question was just charged with 8 counts of negligence. They've been fined $62,000. Do you think that those penalties are strong enough at this point? And what would you say to the transport minister who has mentioned recently that they're reviewing the situation on updating regulations that could have saved your husband's life?
Well, absolutely. For one, there's no fine or a sentence that could actually be adequate for us in bringing back my husband and his co-worker, Charlie Craig. And saying that, the small the tiny little fractions that they have that they charge them with initially, that's not even enough to do anything to them on a corporate level. So that's one thing that needs to be changed. The other thing is to be able to have workers' compensation also protects that negligence as well. So, and then the lack of enforcement from Transport Canada. So there's three, there's multiple facets on what we're trying to fight for right now. And we're hoping the minister is not only going to see these two tragic deaths as a wake-up call, but also to understand all the near misses that have happened, not only on the coast, but throughout Canada over the years, and all the tugboats that have encountered accidents via weather and mechanical and whatnot, to see that, and that we need some higher restrictions, better enforcement, and to be able to have more accountability on those big corporations.
Judy, just a couple other things for you. It sounds like you were able to get an investigation, a higher level investigation kicked off because you got 10,000 signatures to a petition. Without that support, without that drive and that ambition to push for this, there probably wouldn't have been an investigation. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, like, I'm definitely proud of our accomplishments over the last 2 years, but that those accomplishments would have not been accompanied by anything if these guys were protected properly. We're only doing it because they deserve justice, and they're very honorable people in general, and they died in vain. So, you know, this is the least that we could do for them. And having that many people sign those petitions in that such a short time, it just goes to show the magnitude of how much and how important this is for Canadians. The bottom line is we just need to make change.
Judy, just the last thing for you, seeing some of the comments and the well wishes that have come in light of Friday's rally, it sounds like your husband was quite a fellow. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about him and what you kind of keep close as his legacy.
Troy was a fisherman and had salt water in his veins. He, you know, at 10 years old, he was on a fishing boat, and by 13, he was getting a cruise share. And his passion for the ocean continued throughout until he passed away. You know, it hurts to think about it, but he was a mariner, and that's where he probably would have loved to have been. He died home. So he was just a great guy. He was a great father. He was a great provider. He was an honorable man, and you know, like no penalty or fine or sentence will ever bring them back, but we need to be able to keep continuing to fight in their legacy.
That was Judy Carlick Pearson, wife of Troy Pearson, who died along with Charlie Craig when their tugboat Ingenica sank on February 11th, 2021, near Kitimat, BC. Up next, I speak with Jason Woods, president of the local 400 Marines Section and General Workers Union.
My name is Jason Woods, and I'm the president of the International Longshore Warehouse Union, Local 400 Marine Section and General Workers, and I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Great, Jason. Thanks so much for being with us today. Of course, this has been in the headlines the last few days, the second anniversary of the sinking of a tugboat that lost two lives, and obviously some major issues dealing with Transport Canada and inspecting certain vessels like this that were just under the threshold that would allow them to be inspected by Transport Canada. So maybe take us back a couple of years ago when you first heard about the sinking of the tugboat.
Unfortunately, I remember it like it's yesterday, but I was at home and I got a call from one of the employers where I represent, and they'd been dispatched to go and try to attend the scene of the accident, whether they could rescue or what. And then, so I was informed at the time, and then informed of who was going up there. So I took an opportunity to call my member, and then speak to him about what was going on. And, you know, he'd worked at Wainwright and was quite distressed about the situation because he'd worked that boat before and knew the crew involved or knew some of the crew. And then, you know, we put it to our mind that, you know, here's something that we've been advocating for years that this was going to happen and warning the government that this was going to happen. And here we are, you know, our worst case scenario is a tug sinking and people are missing. So we you know, amongst ourselves and the union decided that we would, you know, bring it to the media's attention as quick as we could. And then we set out our initial press release. We didn't know the workers. We don't represent the workers at that company, but we do represent seafarers, and I am a seafarer. And, you know, there's nothing more distressing to hear than a vessel lost at sea, you know. So we set out feelers to the families and, you know, made our promises that once we spoke to them that we would assist them in any way we could. And then we've have since the last 2 years, you know, since the tug sank, we've been supporting the families and asking for justice for Charlie and Troy, holding the government to account and making sure that they actually do something this time.
Yeah, Jason, as you mentioned, you said that this has been a long-term issue, generational issue. Obviously, lots of folks that work along the shores, longshoremen, in the ports, have to deal with these types of things a lot. So maybe tell me, what are some of the shortcomings that you have identified, that the union has identified, that Transport Canada seems to have missed the mark here?
Well, we find that Transport Canada, again, doesn't have the resources to fulfill their mandate as it stands now, let alone expand it to increase the work and scrutiny for other small vessels, because, you know, currently you've got 300 plus marine inspectors across Canada, and they're engaged in all forms of marine transport, whether it be ferries or deep sea ships or you know, whatever, Great Lakes or tugboats. So you've already got very few people doing a lot of work. You've got over 1,340 vessels that are under tonnage vessels in Canada registered, and you have 80% of those on the West Coast. So it's a big problem, and we know that lots of government stakeholders and regulatory agencies don't necessarily have the funding that they necessarily need. So, you know, they don't also have the experience. A lot of people working at Transport Canada come from deep sea ships or larger vessels, and they don't have people coming from small vessels to work at Transport Canada and affect those inspections. And then you have this arbitrary line of 15 gross tons. Anything over gross 15 tons will be inspected. Anything under that won't be. So you have tugs that are literally built recently to 14.9 ton standard to avoid any scrutiny by Transport Canada. You know, Transport Canada likes to say that this is a risk-based model, but when all the risk, most of the risk, is with these small vessels, I would argue that they don't and haven't been. This is the most costly part of the industry to service and to inspect, and that's probably why they don't do it.
One of the, I guess, items that was mentioned in the background was that, you know, the conditions these guys were dealing with at the time were pretty severe, you know, 70 knot winds. It was, you know, minus 20 below surface temperatures, and that this tug was sent out knowing, some argued knowing, that it was underweight to pull the barge that it was pulling. You know, how can we ensure, or how can Transport Canada ensure, and obviously, you know, oversight from the union, that when there is a call to pull a barge of that size or other, you know, vessels that may be in distress, that the right-sized vessel is sent out rather than, you know, one that was underweight?
Well, there is absolutely no standard currently in Canada for that. There's no tug-to-tow ratio, tug power and size versus the weight of the vessel that they're going to tow. The only standard in Canada, what is a towboat, is a boat that tows. You yourself could go buy a boat, aluminum car topper, throw a crucifix on it, and you could start towing as a towboat here in Canada. So there's very little barrier to entry to becoming a tugboat operator or having a tugboat. So that's really the problem, is that you have this very general term you have no enforcement whatsoever. So people don't feel constrained by any regulation. They may not know there's a regulation, in fact, there because, you know, person A just bought a tugboat B and he started tugboat company C and off he goes. He's got two people and he thinks he's got enough to go do the job effectively and off they go. That is the lowest level of manning on the planet. Personnel is two people. You know, there's one person, two people. You know, if I'm in the water and there's and that person's driving the tugboat, how are they ever going to effectively drive the boat and then rescue me? I don't think so. So it's been a problem that's been going on for a long time. The government knows what they need to do, and that's increase manning on vessels. They need to increase inspection. They need to start inspecting every commercial vessel, and then there has to be meaningful enforcement. There can't be a $62,000 fine when two people die. It's got to act as a deterrent. So the fines have to be meaningful, they have to be sizable, and they have to be effective. So they have to scare the crap out of employers to do the right thing. But right now, a $62,000 fine for a $1 million company or more is nothing. It's a cost of doing business. It costs more money to make it safe.
One of the issues that kind of popped out to me was that there are on average about 22 small tug accidents per month here in BC. You know, how many of those are, you know, the union people involved, and, you know, what do you think or what should be done to bring that average number down? Because that sounds like quite a bit. This is every month. There's a lot of traffic on our coast increasing, both at our two northern ports in Kitimat and in Prince Rupert. There's traffic increasing. You know, what would you like to see to lower that average of 22 small tugboat accidents per month here in BC?
Well, that's just it. You know, it's a good range of companies doing different things, but you'll see capsizing, you'll see complete mechanical failure, right? So it's either the boat isn't the right boat for the job, like we spoke about earlier, or alternatively, it isn't maintained, right? And it isn't maintained to a standard where it won't break. So that's one. And then with that risk-based approach, is they should start inspecting these vessels mandatory. They should have mandatory inspections, and they shouldn't be sent off to a third party that's hired by the owner to do the inspection. It should be designated to Transport Canada. The fact is, right now, is any marine company can hire an inspector to come and inspect their work, but they're hired by the company. They're not hired by Transport Canada. Yes, they've been designated by Transport Canada to do that work, but that's instead of Transport Canada doing it themselves. So that would go a long way, is having actual government inspectors fulfill their mandate instead of designate it to a third party. Second of all, formal training for anyone that goes onto a vessel. And then three, and they should get rid of this 15 gross tons measurement and inspect all commercial vessels.
I guess one of the last things I want to, you know, chat with you about, 80% of these small tugboats operate here on the coast. Obviously, a lot of these incidences are going to continue to happen, especially in the interim, if there is no major action taken by, you know, Transport Canada and other regulators. But where do you find hope for what comes next? What would you like to see come next in this story?
My only hope is that 2 years have passed and it's still in the public interest. People like yourself are still calling me and the families, and it's still being addressed. It hasn't gone away yet, as we've seen in other accidents. You know, two 737s fall out of the sky, and the Minister of Transportation grounds all of them in Canada for over a year. Here we are, we have two people pass, and, you know, many accidents every month and every year, and yet the Minister does nothing. He says there's a review. He says a promise last week during crescent period that Canadians will get the highest standard of marine safety, but we've not seen that. We need to see that now, not in 2 years, not in 4 years, now. The next Charlie and Troy could be around the corner.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.